This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Never gets old. Never gets old. Baseball with the Royals, which will be hopefully soon a rendition remake with the old number fives.
I'd like to see that. Hey, if you're looking for some baseball activities tonight at 6 p.m. at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, free admission. They're going to be sharing some stories of black players in Royals history and have artifacts on hand for show and tell. Guests are going to be able to touch some of the stuff of the artifacts. You're going to be able to hold the World Series trophy from 2015. Free admission tonight. My man Kurt Nelson, Bob Kendrick, all those folks going to be down at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum tonight, celebrating baseball, celebrating the Royals, celebrating everything baseball-wise. So get on down there tonight at 6 o'clock, free and open to the public. Go hold that World Series trophy and then get ready to hold another one this year.
Two of the best when it comes to the almanac of baseball.
No doubt, man.
You can have your Wikipedia. I'll take Kurt Nelson and Bob Kendrick over Wikipedia.
Oh, any day of the week. Any single day of the week, man. They're awesome. Love both of those guys to death. And so tonight should be a lot of fun. If you're looking for some baseball-related activities, get on down there. 6 o'clock tonight at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
Good news, bad news for the Royals.
Yeah, a little bit of good news, bad news for the Royals. We start with the good news, right? Isn't that where we always want to start?
Started bad news.
You want to start with the bad news?
I always go bad news.
Okay.
Rip the Band-Aid off and then heal it.
Okay, so we'll start with the bad news on the Kansas City Royals. I was looking at Yahoo yesterday, and they had a list out. And again, these folks study baseball more than all of us do. They had the under 26 power rankings in Major League Baseball, basically ranking every roster of the players of 26 years of age or under. And I'm scrolling through, and I'm looking for the Royals. I'm looking for the Royals. Like, where are the Royals on this list, right? And they come in at the number 14 on the list, I believe, is where the Royals were on this list for talent of under 26 years old. And obviously it's led by a guy by the name of Bobby Witt Jr., who's a pretty darn good baseball player, if I do say so myself. And so I'm scrolling through. Where are the Royals? Where are the Royals? All right, there's Bobby Witt Jr. And then this is what they said about the Kansas City Royals when it comes to 26 and under on the roster. And it basically said if it wasn't for Bobby Witt Jr., the Royals would be dead last on this list. They don't have enough talent in their minor league system. They don't have enough young guys that are legitimately good under the age of 26. And I'm thinking to myself, damn, that's a pretty big shot at the Kansas City Royals. Why are they so low, you know, on this list? Why are they so down on this list when it comes to under 26-year-old players? And I'm sorry, the organizational talent under 26 years old. And they said if it wasn't for Bobby Witt Jr., the Royals would be dead last in organizational talent. And so I hear that, I read that, I'm like, man, that's kind of harsh criticism of the Royals, but it also got my wheels spinning a little bit. If that's the case, and Yahoo Baseball people who look at this game differently than I do, don't believe that there's enough young talent in this system to move forward, then this has to be an all-in year, right? If you're the Kansas City Royals, like, you have to be willing to give up almost anything in your organization in order to get the reinforcements necessary to make sure you win this year. Because if you don't have the talent under 26, and it's Bobby Witt and literally nobody else, according to Yahoo, then you need to be all in this year and be willing to make those moves to make this ball club the best that you possibly can. And I do believe the Royals are in that mode. I do believe that they want to go out there, be very transactional, find another bat. The problem happens to be, who are we dancing with at this point in time?
Right, and their prospects, I mean, young kids. You have, obviously, Jack Caglione, number one prospect in your minor league system, right. 21 years old. Blake Mitchell, a 20-year-old catcher, who a lot of people have a lot of aspirations for, and then Carter yep. Jensen as well. And then Ben Cadorna, the right-handed pitcher in Double-A, who's 21 years old. So you have potential. It's just it's unproven.
Right.
And, you know, to play devil's advocate, let's say Jack Caglione gets called up some point this year and absolutely lives up to his expectations, where a lot of people are starting to give him kind of the mold of a Jim Thome type player, 6'5", 250. Jim Thome, I believe, was 6'4", 250.
Jim Thome, big fan of the show. Nice. Yep, big okay. fan of the show.
The Tomes. Man, that guy hit some majestic bombs at Costco.
Dude, he's the nice. You love Jim Thome.
For
you
sure.
absolutely love Jim Thome.
Remember that time you hit like a 470-foot shot at Coppin Stadium? That was awesome.
He'd be like, Dusty, let me tell you about that pitch. It came right over the plate. My eyes were so big. I didn't want to ruin the Royals fans' day, but my God, I had a swing and hit that thing into the fountains. That's how nice a guy Jim Thome is.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be awesome. But I mean, I think you look at those, you know, Carter Jensen, Blake Mitchell, right? Like, I both those guys are catchers. So if you are going to make a move, one of those guys is probably going to get moved.
And Mitchell, I got to talking to some people over the weekend down in Arizona. A lot of people in baseball like Blake Mitchell. A lot of people like Blake Mitchell.
And was it Jensen that got hurt or with the hand injury earlier this spring?
Right.
So, I mean, you have talent, but again, it is a harsh system because baseball nowadays, it seems that guys that get to be the age of like 22 to 26 are like the premier athletes, right? Like you look at, obviously you take away Judge and Otani, but you look at, you know, Eloy Jimenez or, I can't think of his name.
De La Cruz.
Yeah. Eloy De La Cruz in Cincinnati, Bobby Witt Jr. Ronald Acuna might be a little bit older than 26 now. He might be like 27, 28. But like those type of players, Fernando Tatis Jr.
Guys get old fast, Dusty. Right. Like you think these guys are young and then you get old and they're like, oh my God, that guy's that old now too?
So it's hard. I mean, it's a tough criticism, but I mean, you know, most of your talent is in year 1 through 4.
I mean, there's only one guy right now on the roster, pitcher-wise, that's 26 and under, and that's Angel Zerpa. He's the only guy that's 26 or under on the roster right now. And you look at their hitters that are under 26. You got Bobby Witt Jr., obviously, you know. Michael Garcia, I like the fact that he can be kind of now more of a role player. Nelson Velasquez, MJ Melendez, got to be a big year for MJ Melendez right now, and he's got to figure it out this year, and I think he will. There's been a lot, like we talked about for a couple weeks now, a lot of good returns on him. Nick Lofton, another guy.
Cole Reagans is 27.
Yeah, so, right, I mean, right, but they did 26, and I don't know, right. I guess 26 is kind of that age where you start to kind of flip the script over to like when you're supposed to be in your prime, so 26 and under is like not your prime yet. 26 to 30 is kind of like your prime, and then 30 up, you're past your prime, I guess.
So I'm entering my prime. Okay.
You are, sweet. Yeah. You're all in right. your prime right now. Dusty and I have aged out a long time ago of our prime.
I don't think I can play for the Royals, though.
Probably not. Nick Prado's on that list who could use a change of scenery at some point, I'm sure, and then Drew Waters as well. Those are your kind of young hitters that are at the level right now. You've got your prospects of Cags, Blake Mitchell, Jensen, and Gavin Cross, and then you mentioned some of the pitchers on that list, Noah Cameron, Steven Zoback, and Lewinder Avila.
You just got to stop at that point.
Yeah.
Punt on those names.
So I like this has to be that all in year for the Royals. I would imagine like you got to get out there. You got to make those moves, right?
For sure. But you got to have something to move. Like you mentioned, right? Like Brady Singer got moved because you need a leadoff hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to Vern yesterday, sounds like India's got the juice, has the locker room on his side.
Everybody they love him.
So far,
yeah.
Haven't seen a pitch thrown to him in a major league game yet. So far, he's fitting the script of what they wanted.
I'm a huge fan of that move. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about it yesterday, and we were kind of going back and forth, a buddy of mine. He's like, what do you think of the trade? Like, you know, because now everybody's starting to get out of that football mode and we can see baseball starting to come out. I love the Jonathan. I think that's a brilliant move by JJ, man. It fills such a big need and has created depth and has given you the opportunity to move guys around and, you know, give the manager some options and things like I really, and I may be, you know, just too bullish on it, right? But I love love that move that the Royals made this offseason.
Was the Royals' offseason move to get a leadoff hitter as important as the Chiefs' offseason move to get a left tackle?
Wow, that's an interesting one. I think it's the NFL. It's always more important. It's Patrick Mahomes. But I think it's one in the
same.
Because
you have a leadoff hitter to protect Bobby, right?
Right.
And you have a left tackle to protect Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both of your superstars.
And the Royals went out and got what they needed this offseason.
Might have just cooked something up there. Yeah,
I kind of like that.
All right,
give
me the good.
All right, I did. I just gave you the good.
Okay, that's
good. You want the bad?
Oh, I thought you went bad first.
No. Oh, yeah, I did went bad first. I'll go give you the good.
Yeah.
I was like shaking over here about to get a thanks for listening. I was like, damn it. I was like, I'm pretty sure you did bad.
Hey, Bob, thanks for listening to yourself. No, we didn't do bad. Right.
I'm just making sure.
I was like, thank God.
We both looked at each other. Like, the two kids were like,
Please.
Yeah, no.
We're 19th in young prospects.
I'm old. I'm losing brain cells. And then also, I don't even know if this is good news. Good news is Royals fans should be optimistic. So apparently the Athletic has done for the last couple of years this, like, how optimistic are you for your baseball team going into the season? They call it their hope-o-meter going into the season. And this is where last year the Royals come in at number 14th. Going into the season last year, 74.4% of the people who responded to this Athletic survey about optimism for the Royals were optimistic about Kansas City going into the 2024 season. Why on earth would you, as a Royals fan, have been optimistic at this time last year going into the season? Coming off a 106-loss season, you had Bobby Witt. Nobody really knew anything else. You had a couple of veteran guys, but nobody really knew. Almost 75% of the Royals fans surveyed were optimistic about this team going into the season, right? And so the Athletic sends their survey out this year. Are you optimistic? Yes or no? Why? And then you fill it out, right? It ought to be close to 100% this year, I would assume, for Royals optimism, right?
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Because 2023, it was 44.2% of people that were optimistic about the Royals.
Must have been one of the only 43%.
Because Baltimore last year was number one. 98.7% of their fans were optimistic going into the season. They've won 100 and almost 200 games, I think, over the last 2 years combined, right?
They're
190 games. They've been fantastic. They should have that optimism. Do you think Royals fans should be more or less than 98.7% optimistic going into the season? Because I think if you're a Royals fan and you're truly looking at it, everybody better be optimistic going into this season. And if you're an Eeyore and you're not, which some people aren't, and that's fine, what is holding you back from being optimistic about the Royals?
And it better be something about 2025 Royals, not about your, you know, PTSD and your pain that you've felt over the past 30 years.
Great point.
What about this team?
Yeah, and you can weigh in on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, because if you're not optimistic, I'd like to know, because I am very optimistic. I'm excited, man. Being down there for 2 days and getting ready to go back in a week and a half or so and seeing the spring, the buzz is on, like, it was just different from Royal spring training that I've seen before. Superstar catcher, superstar at shortstop. We had a superstar on the mound in Cole Reagans. I'm like, and Vinny at first. I'm like, that's a really nice lineup, man. This is fun. So what's holding you back if you're not going to fill out that form at the Athletic and say you're optimistic about the Royals? What could possibly be holding people back?
We can dive into that as well on the other side, but stuff to be optimistic about as well is basketball madness that comes to Kansas City for the NAIA Men's College Basketball Championship March 20th through the 25th at Municipal Auditorium. 16 teams, 15 games, one national champion. Bring the family for nonstop action and affordable tickets. Get yours today at NAIAHoops.com. The carousel of the NFL offseason continues, and so does Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Optimism was the question we asked a text line, 913-586-7965. Damn, glad to have you on a Tuesday. I think Mac's going to hit a 2.5-hour nap on a day like today.
A day like today, he's going to be all curled up.
Got the pups on the bed.
Yep.
House to the self.
100%.
Yeah. Well, it's a perfect napping day, right?
It's going to be good.
I guarantee you my dog looked with one eye and went, screw this, I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought about it. I was like, Binkley would love to work on his birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, he would. It is Jay Binkley's birthday, so make sure you send him a message on X.
Yes. At Three Guys in a Garage.
There you go.
And send him a little leprechaun, because he's a March baby.
Yeah. He came in like a lion.
Magically delicious.
Binkley is?
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard.
Yep. Shout out to the Pitt State Gorillas. somebody says, I got to be honest, right? That's not the right one we want to read. I'm at 99% this year.
Okay.
I saw the abilities last year, and really an injury is the only thing I think that can stop us.
Yeah, that's every team, though. Yeah, I mean, that seems like the fallback. We're going to be great if we don't get injured. Yeah, so is everybody, right?
500 or better for me this year. I'm optimistic and excited from the 913.
I don't think that's a successful season, though, 500. Like, this needs to be a playoff team at minimum, right? At minimum. And I think they should be a team that is challenging for the division this year. Based on their roster, what they did last year, you take that next step, right?
You thinking like over 90 wins?
Well, I mean, what they have last year?
86.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everybody's conceivably better than where they were a season ago. It's only four games. They were a 30-game improvement from the year prior,
crazy,
right?
Yeah.
So, like you got to bank on everybody taking that next step. So, yeah, I don't think 90 is asking a lot to win the division based on what you did last year.
Vegas has them at 83.5 wins, so just slightly above 500.
Yeah.
From a 660, I'm not optimistic.
Okay.
Vinny injury history. Lugo won't be Cy Young guy. Waka will come back. He already came back. Salvi won't be as good. 5-9 is still not good. Bullpen is unknown. Bubic has no reason to trust starting.
Yeah. Okay. So let me address a couple of things there. We can't worry about injury. Yes, Vinny does have an injury history, but you know what? You have a backup now for Vinny. If Vinny gets hurt, Jack Haglione's probably going to play, and Vinny may never see the field again.
Julie.
Yeah. I mean, he may never see the field again, and that's not a shot at Vinny. But that's the expectation for Caglione once he gets in the lineup. He's not being removed from the lineup. So if Vinny gets injured, then Vinny, I hate to say it, Vinny may be trade bait at that point in time if Cags comes up and does what we think he is going to do. What was the other thing that they talked about on there that I wanted? Can you read that one again?
Yeah, it was Lugo is not going to be the Cy Young guy. Waka comes back, and 5-9 hitters in bullpen.
Yeah, go look at any.
And Bubic.
Go look at any.
The entire team.
Yeah, he listed everything. Go look at any team in baseball. Nobody's good 7-9 at any spot unless they're the Dodgers and you're paying $300 million. So those are the only teams that are good 7-9 in the lineup. And I understand if you have trepidation about Waka and Lugo duplicating what they did last year.
That would be my biggest fear.
Career years, it's hard to duplicate and count on guys having career years again. So I understand that point. I'm not necessarily against that. I totally see what you're saying with that.
And what's crazy is Waka didn't even have a career year last year. Like, go to his St. Louis numbers early in his career, like when he was really, and he's still able to do it at that age. Like, that's what he is. He's a third starter in your pool, in your rotation for a small market team in the AL Central. Like, he's not going to and even if Lugo isn't a Cy Young, like, what if he's a shade below that?
Yeah.
Like, he's a hell
of
a number.
Cy old?
He's a shade below that. From the 913 Fesco's burner account, the people that are not optimistic are the ones that do not want the Royals to move. Just jumped up. We got a bunch of texts at
move.
Once. Are the ones that do not want the Royals to move. That's another way they voice their anger. Let them be angry. I'm 100% these boys. Let's go Royals, Aaron and Olathe.
I don't think anybody is going to prevent the Royals from moving. John Sherman's going to do what he wants to do, and so.
From the 660, last year seemed like everyone had their best season at once. Flukes. What happens when the guys you counted on come back to earth and you don't bring in anybody else that you can say for sure will step up?
Okay, who did they miss on this offseason that we would have liked to have seen them bring in? Because I don't know the answer. They made a move for one of their biggest needs.
Yep.
They got better defensively. They got better offensively. They created depth. Do we still want to bag it? Would I like to have Luis Robert from the Chicago White Sox? You bet I'd love to have that bat in the lineup, but that's probably not going to be something that's realistically going to happen, for this team. Who are the other power hitters? Santander, as Vern talked about yesterday. I think it was Vern that was talking about it yesterday. Like, you signed Santander to a long-term deal, then he starts blocking Jack Haglione or somebody like that, and then you're like, oh man, I wish we didn't have that guy there. So that's kind of the flip side to that narrative.
From the 660, they can't wait for the Royals to go 162 just to get swept by the Dodgers in the World Series. LOL.
And I feel like that's always in the back of everybody's mind. Like, there two things can be true. We can still have a great baseball season, and the Dodgers can still be the World Series champions, right? Because I think everybody is picking the Dodgers to win the World Series, because that's what you should do, to pick the Dodgers to win the World Series.
The other thing, too, is that the Dodgers might be the greatest regular season team. They still got to win four games in a row when it matters.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're great, and they're good, and they did it last year. They didn't win four in a row, but they're good. But again, like, you have a chance if you play him in a series instead of it. You don't have to play the Dodgers 162 times. from the 913.
That's why I said two things can be true. You can have a really nice season, and the Dodgers could still win the World Series, but you could still win 90, win the Central, and get into the playoffs, and maybe you make the ALCS. Who the hell knows?
I disagree. Back-to-back years of 500 or better is good with me. Missing playoffs isn't a failure for me.
Okay. It has to be, though. I mean, that, we have to have higher expectations, right? They've got the superstar player. They've shown that they can win. Now it's all about taking that next step. And I think John Sherman is in the position, too, where he's not going to allow this team to slip back. You know, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep pushing. We're going to be throwing money at this thing.
From the 816, we'll do one more. I don't think it's fair to discredit people's PTSD with the Royals. We've seen so many years of potential optimism just for the other shoe to drop. For me, it's cynical optimism, if that's a fair thing, LOL.
Well, I think we've created a lot of faux optimism over the years with the Royals because we wanted something to be optimistic about, because we didn't have the Chiefs doing their thing or them being a legit team. And we've wanted this baseball team to be a winner for so long. I was actually talking about it yesterday with somebody who used to work for the Chiefs, and we were talking about the wild card night, right? And we were talking about the Chiefs game the day before where Tom Brady went out there and was benched basically, and they were on the Cincinnati. The Royals were at that game that night, and I was talking to somebody yesterday who used to work for the Chiefs organization. Like, yeah, we got him a suite because at that time we had plenty of suites to give away because nobody was going. So we gave him a suite. He goes, I walked in that suite. He goes, it was like a fraternity house going on in there. Everybody was having a grand old time. He's like, these guys got to play the next day, right? So they went to bed and they woke up and they played, and they obviously won that wild card game. But I mean, that's the kind of optimism I think we should have going into this season, that this is going to be a playoff team, that this is going to be a fun baseball team, and everybody's going to fall in love with the Royals this year. That's allow yourself to get there. Don't allow that PTSD to have an impact, because none of that matters. Nope. They're not playing for the ghosts of the last 30 years or 40 years or however you want to look at it. They're playing for themselves today, and none of these guys were part of any of those failures that took place over the last 30 years here in Kansas City.
Think about the Chiefs. You know, it's the same thing. They have gotten rid of that, you know, scum or that whatever it is.
Yeah.
Keeping up with the AL Central fluctuation in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Royals did move up. Now they are third above the Guardians. They're at +280. Guardians +310.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Yankees, I wonder what they are now in the AL East. They just lost maybe Lucas Heal for the rest of the year.
Can you believe that? I mean, they got him and Stanton sitting out there on the DL. You've got LeMahieu that's out now.
At least they're not paying Heal.
Yet they're not. Rookie of the year, yeah.
Marcus Stroman is now set to be the starter for the Yankees. Season's over.
They're +100. Orioles at second, +250.
Yeah, take the Orioles.
Wow.
It's the Orioles year.
When you say it's their year for
to win,
to win the division or to
win the, I don't know about winning the whole thing, but I mean, I don't know. I just think that now that Jackson Holliday's got a year under his belt, plus they have all
those
other.
Is that your pick to win the AL?
I don't know. I mean, I'm biased as all hell because I think this Royals team, the way that I've heard things, the way that I don't know if they can win the AL, but I think that's the Orioles' biggest competition. I think those two teams have the two best players in the AL.
I'd be more concerned, quite honestly, if I was an Orioles fan than a Royals fan going into this year. And for one reason only, the Orioles faded at the end and basically quit and didn't even play in the postseason. You know, like,
into great pitching from the Royals.
Yeah, but they look flat towards the end of the year. Like they, I'm talking like August, September. You remember, I watched a lot of Orioles baseball because I like their play-by-play guy and they're on early.
Mm-hmm.
But they lost something late in the season last year and kind of limped in, you know, to the postseason. So I wonder if they're going to recover from that. That should be a concern for Baltimore fans. Did they limp in last year, and is that going to impact this year?
I think they're just fine. I mean, if Jackson Holliday is doing what he can do, which I think he's going to have an insane bounce back year, they have him, Henderson, and the catcher, Rutschman all hitting 1-2-3.
Yeah.
I mean, or 2-3-4. I mean, that's a killer three in their lineup, plus their pitching's pretty decent as well.
Who do you like in the West?
Seattle or Texas? I mean, Seattle has that rotation. Texas is just always somehow like doing it some way, shape, or form.
So is Houston, though, too.
Did you see they're moving Altuve to left field?
I saw that yesterday.
I would hit to left field every single time.
I tried to hit it over his head.
I mean, yeah, he's going to play left field. Boston's also got a different team in the East.
Yep.
They signed Bregman. They've got some weapons as well. Like Devers is at third, maybe. But yeah, I mean, I think Baltimore and Kansas City is the future of the American League.
I do too. Yeah.
I think Cleveland still has to be respected. Obviously the Yankees are there. Detroit's really good.
Yep.
They bring back the triple crown Cy Young winner basically.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, I know that I'm biased and I hang on these Royals a lot because I think that what Bobby Witt Jr. brings to this team is something different. We can get into superstardom a little bit later. Somebody's trying to pull on my emotions and say that, would you trade Jack Caglione for Paul Skeens straight up? Let's have a debate.
There's no question. There's no debate. Come on now.
Of course I'm keeping Jack.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Skeens has got another pitch in Livy Dunn. Like, so why wouldn't we trade that guy?
Yeah, Paul Skeens is going to be dirty.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead and hit him for Cy Young.
Yeah, what are the odds on that? I mean, you're not gonna make any money on Paul Skeens winning the Cy Young Award this year, right?
He lost last year because of three reasons. One, he didn't get called up quick enough. Two, Chris Sale was a triple crown. And three, the kid's just too young to win an award like that.
Yeah, you can't give it to him.
His numbers were astonishing. But again, didn't have the full season like Sale did. But either way, how was
200.
Plus 200, is he the favorite?
Yes. Yeah. Zach Wheeler falls behind him at plus 700.
Nice. What's Bobby to win MVP? I know it's going to take you a little bit of time.
The odds are for Zach Wheeler to lead the league in wins this year, by the way. Zach Wheeler is number one in odds to lead the league in wins.
Wow. Where do you think he's at?
Bobby? Is it for AL MVP?
Yeah, AL MVP.
I bet he's third.
Second, third, he is first, plus 270, Judge plus 300, and that's a big gap. Gunnar Henderson plus 750 at third. So it's him and Judge right now.
Yeah, of course. That's who it should be, right?
Hell yeah, dude.
Who was last year? Zero first place votes.
Zero. But if you want to take a flyer, Gunnar Henderson is the answer, plus 750. You can win some money on that, yeah.
Right. The carousel in the NFL offseason continues. Horton for the Chiefs catching some interest out of nowhere yesterday.
As he should.
Right. I
mean, the guy's a really good football player.
That's your guy.
I love him. I love Turk Wharton. And
why don't you marry him?
Because I'm taking.
Yeah.
Dana would be pissed, but I love Turk Wharton too, man. 8.5 sacks last year for this guy. I mean, can you remember one Turk Wharton sack? Probably not. But the guy had 8.5. Like, he's a very good player. And if he's not going to be able to get paid here, which probably isn't going to happen, I hope Turk Wharton gets himself a nice contract and really finds himself some good dough out there on the free agent market, because he's shown and he's proven that he is one of the better defensive tackles right now that is going to hit free agency.
I mean, I like him. It screams Brett Veach. Is he a system player on your defense that can foil in and out? And is he cheap? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like,
was.
Was.
Now the guy's going to get the bag. But, I mean, that's a Missouri S&T kid. I mean, my God, how many kids from Missouri Rolla are doing things in the NFL? And Turk Wharton was like one of those undrafted rookie free agents. Again, another guy that shows Brett Veach knows what he's doing. I know we want to talk about Breland Speaks and Sky Moore. Turk Wharton wasn't a drafted player. That's a undrafted free agent that he found, that he turned into a guy that dominated, that's now going to go get paid. It's a major win for Brett Veach.
Yeah, get Turk back on the team. Turk, O'Minihue, and Chris Jones, I'd be okay.
Yes. I mean, they don't really have much other D-line. Him and Karloftis right now, that's it.
I'm just interested what he's going to get on the open market, like if he's going to outprice himself from Kansas City. There's a good chance he does.
Possibly.
I think so.
The miles and miles of rumors continue as now a new team is on the lurk for Myles Garrett. I see you guys in text yesterday. This would suck. Buffalo seems to be having a lot of interest in Myles Garrett.
What would you give up for Myles Garrett if you're Buffalo right now? Is that the missing piece to get you over the hump?
I'd trade him Cook because he wants a contract.
He wants a contract.
He's a running back. Yeah. Cleveland doesn't have a running back. Yeah. Myles Garrett doesn't want to be there. You win-win.
Yeah.
Obviously, you end that whole drama that they're like, well, we're not budging. And Myles Garrett's like, okay, well, we can do this the hard way or the easy way. And then Buffalo could be like, well, we really want it. We got to, like we said earlier, baseball trades. If you want to get something, you got to give up something.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Chubb definitely is not the same running back anymore. He's a free agent, too.
Yeah, he's a free agent. Yeah.
You did not have, which means you're probably not bringing him back if he's not the same.
Which means he's done.
Cook was a stud last year. What, led the AFC in touchdowns?
I think led the NFL league in rushing touchdowns.
So, Mr. Cook, you want a deal? Okay, we're going to send you to Cleveland.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. I'll play for less. Too late.
League minimum or a nice contract and playing for Cleveland? What are you choosing?
Phew, chance to win and be happy or get paid and be somewhat happy. I don't know. That's a tough one to ask.
The reason the Bills haven't been able to beat the Chiefs, though. It's the defense. It hasn't been their offensive production. They can score on the Chiefs. They can't stop them. So
the honest question if you're Cook is you take the money because you're a running back.
Of course you take the money.
You got one shot, and that's it.
I mean, and all the stuff about Pacheco, everybody's like, I can't believe they're not. Of course they're not paying Pacheco. They never were going to pay Pacheco.
Other news outside. Myles Garrett wanting to go to Buffalo maybe being a possibility, which I think Buffalo fans are like, oh my God, finally. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not Khalil Mack. Who's apparently ready for a reunion in Chicago.
Is he really?
It's the rumor I saw yesterday that he would not debunk a reunion back to Chi-Town. The other name that popped up that gave Mac a little movement downstairs was Darius Slay is going to be released by the Philadelphia Eagles and be a free agent corner to go sign. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs need a corner. Binkley and Chris Unicero, who do the Character Concerns podcast, they've had for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Corner number one pick for the Kansas City Chiefs, or do you say scratch that and go sign Darius Slay if you can find out how to get the money right?
All right, so what has worked for this organization? They've done a nice job drafting defensive backs. You continue to do that. 34 years old, a little bit long in the tooth, high salary.
No Slay.
Yeah, I get it. But you're in, so tell me why. I mean,
well, he's big play Slay. He's veteran. He's won everywhere he's been. He's fantastic man corner. He's bigger, which is nice because McDuffie, a little smaller, could put him back in the slot, have Slay out in the X guard those bigger receivers. And he's proven. I get the 34 thing, Scarrett. We just saw him play a great season on the Super Bowl winning team.
Right.
I'd take a chance on him 1 year, probably cheap.
Yeah, but I always come back to this. Teams don't get rid of good players. If they still think they can play, you're never cut because of salary in the NFL. You're cut because of age. They don't think you can play anymore. Oh, and by the way, you're making money. Fine, you're gone. But if it's somebody that's a good player that they still believe can play, salary doesn't factor in. So I look at the Eagles right now and I say, they must have got rid of him, or getting rid of him, if you will, for a reason. What is that? Do they not feel he can play anymore? And that may be the case.
They did just draft two corners in the first round, too, so they feel pretty confident there. I don't know.
And they got that one guy that gave us one of the best responses. How do you stop Patrick Mahomes? We'll show you.
Yeah, now looking back on that, you're like,
Cooper DeJean.
That was scary.
Yeah, that's why they can afford to get rid of Darius Slay, because Cooper DeJean's going to be the truth.
Because we looked at that as like, oh, this guy doesn't know how to stop Mahomes. Yeah. Meanwhile, we're like, oh, no, he knows exactly what.
Yeah, he's got the answer.
We walked into that dome, chests out. We walked into there deflated.
Oh, yeah. We walked in and go, they don't have no idea how to stop. Oh, my God. Where's the
DeAndre Hopkins drops it. That's game. And well, we still got a minute 15 left in the first half.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's over. I've already spilled my coffee on poor Matt Derrick. And,
I told the boss that story yesterday. He's like, that's hilarious.
Well, Matt Derrick's the greatest human being on earth. I'm so humiliated that I spilled a cup of hot coffee on him. And I'm glad it was him, because anybody else would have freaked out.
What the hell?
And Matt Derrick's like, left.
Yeah, right. Matt Derrick is like, hey, it's no big deal. It's okay. I'm like, no, it is a big deal. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's so funny. And then he spilled nuts all over.
Then I spilled a bowl of nuts on him. Like, it was. Jeez.
I even used Matt Derrick's binoculars, and I was using them. I was like, you smell like coffee. And they just both started roaring laughing. I was like, well, Bob was like pimping him out too. He's like, dude, you look great. You've lost so much weight. You're healthier. You look so fantastic. Here's all of my coffee all over your laptop. Your Super Bowl, his Super Bowl like guide.
Yes,
everything, just coffee ruined. Larry David comes into the Super Bowl.
I went and got him a new guide and all that kind of stuff. I took care of it. But no, I was like, so I funny. Love when people lose weight and they look great and they do. It's because it's so hard, and I know. And I was like talking them up because I really believe it. I'm like, you look great. It's awesome. Here's my coffee
and
all over.
Piss coffee all over. At least Bob drinks his coffee black, so there's no sugar any additives in it. So like, there is. Slight positive. The franchise tag deadline is today at 3:00 Central Time, 4:00 Eastern. That's how that works. One name that's not going to get the franchise tag is Chris Godwin.
Mm.
Don't tease me with a good time is what I say to that.
So you're in. You'd like Godwin.
Absolutely. He's 29. Had a big injury this year.
Big injury. Second big injury in his career.
But he's a proven commodity. He's essentially when you got Juju from the Steelers. A little faster.
Yeah.
Not as big. But he's that guy. You know, you can trust him to be that guy. And with Mahomes, anything's possible.
So he just turned 29, so he's not quite 30.
Right.
In the prime of his career.
Playing a prove it deal.
Yeah, prove it deal.
Get him cheap.
Can I still get a big contract if I do 1 year with the Chiefs? Absolutely, you can.
You look at his numbers, 1,000 yards, and 576 because he didn't play the whole season. Averages 82 yards a game.
He's a really good player.
Yeah, what the hell?
Hammer Brown.
I'll ask you this. Mm. If they're both available, Debo or Godwin, who would you have taken?
Godwin.
Godwin.
Quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Money, okay. Everything. Yeah, Godwin. Yeah. I think Debo's overrated.
Whew.
It'll be interesting to see what he does out there.
He's
in
no
Washington.
Longer a wide receiver one, so we'll see where That's he's true. Where Huge we actually put him as yeah. a rating as a wide receiver. Don't forget, we'll talk to Vern at 8 o'clock. He's live in Arizona and spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. It is a threesome Tuesday and a happy birthday to Bink. He joins us on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Day to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Binkley. Jay Binkley joins the show here in just a second as we will bring the man, the myth, the legend to the air. It is a threesome Tuesday. So, Binkley, what would be your perfect threesome on your birthday?
Oh, man. We talking golf or women?
It's your birthday, it's your man. Birthday. You do whatever the hell you want.
Well, man. I don't know how to answer this.
Yeah, you do. Answer with your heart, and you can never go wrong.
Beer, chew, beef.
So, Stu, beer, nachos, and beef jerky.
Mm. That's your perfect birthday threesome?
Yeah.
Now give me the women version.
To keep it clean.
No, get dirty. It's your birthday. Who'd be your perfect threesome, women wise?
That one girl I had on the air a couple years ago.
Oh,
that
my
sure.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who'd I grow up like? And Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Is she still around?
Oh yeah, still a babe.
Yeah, and what, Libby Dunn?
A little young.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So she could be your granddaughter.
Paige Spiranek got cut. I'm surprised by that.
Oh, no, no. Okay. She's on there, too, for sure.
Okay, so it's a foursome. It's your birthday. Okay. You can open any present.
It's wild.
Yeah. So what are you doing for your birthday, Jay? Mock drafts?
Right now I'm in front of a doctor's office. Got to do rehab for a couple hours. And,
nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Can't wait.
Are you enjoying this this fake radar we got with these powerful storms that are moved in through this Tuesday morning?
Yeah, what's your radar saying today, Dust Man? It looks like it's a little bit rainy out. I'll be at the bar later, but am I going to face rain when I go to the bar?
What bar are you going to?
Probably Johnny's.
Nice, up there in the Northland. You love that Parkville location, don't you?
No, I do. I like it, so I'll probably be hitting there later. Maybe some smokehouse for dinner. I got to do that whole thing there.
Yeah, you got to get over to the smokehouse, get the beans, get the wings. Of course, they're fantastic. They have pork belly burnt ends now at smokehouse, so you need to try those. Yes.
What's the greatest birthday present you ever got?
I think that 50th was fun that we had all the beer at a couple years ago.
How's that different from any other one though?
Well, because that was actually something fun. Usually, I don't do anything.
Very well said. Very well said.
It was actually fun.
Binkley, Wharton, you bring that guy back if the money's right?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, it'd be nice. I mean, Chris Jones, the only defensive lineman under contract. This draft is absolutely loaded with defensive linemen. But, yeah, it depends on how much Turk makes on the open market. But with his skill set and everything, he might be commanding some cash. And he's a reason to go get it. He's got a couple of rings, go ahead and get the cash.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
We asked a question earlier about optimism for the Royals season. What are you most optimistic about when it comes to this 2025 team?
I'm just, Bobby Witt Jr. is the easy answer for it. But just seeing at what point we get Jack Caglione up to Kansas City. Hopefully it's by summer and see what Benny turns around, see if he can stay healthy for the year, because I think Benny can be freaking awesome for this team. Love to see MJ Melendez kind of get things turned around, but obviously Bobby Witt Jr. Jonathan India, too. I'm kind of curious about what he brings to the table.
Yeah, so you just named everybody on the roster. Awesome. I like that.
Yeah,
as we should. I mean, there's nobody that you look at the roster and go, oh, God, this guy, like we used to, you know?
Yeah, and Carter Jensen, see his progress in the minor leagues. Park Hill kid, always root for the local guy. See what Burns up to?
Yep. All right, Jay. Well, go get that doctor's appointment knocked out. You have a wonderful birthday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow about the draft.
All right. Thanks for calling, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it, man. Happy birthday, Jay.
So send it to at three guys in a garage, a little leprechaun GIF, and we'll be okay. That's going to piss a lot of people off because I say it that way.
GIF? Uh-huh. That's the peanut butter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, which is it? Is it GIF or is it GIF?
I don't know.
Who cares?
It's a debate that gets a lot of people really pissed off.
Oh, what doesn't get everybody pissed off these days?
A threesome?
Oh, yeah, a threesome. All right, here's my Tuesday threesome for you guys. Handle it however you want. I got Jimmy Johnson, King Cake, and Hunter Dickinson.
Right in the Jimmy Johnson. That's the first thing I think of, and then I think of his retirement.
Right. How about that? 31 years. I was thinking about this yesterday, right? Jimmy Johnson was 50 when he started on Fox NFL Sunday. Wow. Do you know he's been doing that longer than you've been alive?
So he's crazy. 80?
81. That's 81, nuts. Yeah.
So if you want the recipe to life, you buy a yacht and move to Miami.
That's exactly what it is.
Because he told Dan Le Batard one time he's worn shoes twice in a year. It was for a wedding and a funeral.
Right.
I mean, and he doesn't look 81, at least in my opinion.
No, he doesn't.
No.
His hair is awesome.
He hasn't aged at all. Like, if you look at Jimmy Johnson from, like, the day he got the Dallas job in 89 to where he is today, hardly looks different at all.
I also thought it showed a lot of how much respect he had for Colin Cowherd and the network that he's worked for, because he chose that platform at that moment to announce his retirement. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have came out on social media or he could have done, like, an interview somewhere else. Colin Cowherd's show right off the shoot. Hey, man, I'm calling it today. I'm retiring from the NFL and broadcast and everything. And she's like, oh, okay.
Cool.
Do you think that you're more of like a retirement like Barry Bonds? Or do you think more? Of course, the analogy comes right after from Colin.
Will we remember Jimmy Johnson more as a broadcaster or as a coach? I know Mac will remember him as a broadcaster because he has no idea that he was a coach.
He coined the How About Them Cowboys, which is now like they're saying. So to me, it's both. If that's the cop-out.
It's both.
Yeah, it is both. Because like, I grew up knowing him as a coach, right? Like, and then I, you know, kind of became like in college. I became this Miami Hurricanes fan for like 4 years.
Who wasn't though in our age? Yeah. Right? Like, if you weren't rooting for the Miami Hurricanes, you were probably doing it wrong, right?
And then you find out, oh, Jimmy Johnson was in Miami. That's who turned that whole thing around. Right. And you find out he goes to the Cowboys, and then you find out Jerry Jones is a Richard from then on,
right?
So yeah, that's probably. And then obviously broadcast. He's like one of the only ones that stuck around and never got kicked off the show. Was never replaced. Like Tony G was there. Shannon Sharp was there. Like all these guys went there. Jimmy Johnson never left. It was him and Howie Long and then the guy that hosts it.
Yeah, well, it was him and Howie, and Bradshaw was there, was one of the originals as well.
Crazy thing, Bradshaw's still not retired.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's got a couple of more years, I think he said, but I mean, like if you were going to tell me which one of these guys is going to retire, I would have said Terry was going to be that guy. You know, Jimmy, though, you're kind of leaving on top, man. You're leaving after a Super Bowl. You're still really good at what you do. You're 81 years old, but you look about 60. Like, go live the rest of your life and have a lot of fun. And Jimmy Johnson is proof, like these guys that grinded out coaching all these years, Jimmy Johnson just walked away and said, you know what? Life and having fun is more important. Being in Key West on my boat is more important than coaching in the NFL. I won a championship in college. I won a couple of Super Bowls in the NFL. Peace out, man. I've had a good life. If you could tell me that, you know, at 81, I would have lived the life that Jimmy Johnson led, everybody would sign up for that, right? He's lived an unbelievable life. He's had so much success. He's been a great guy. There's never been scandal, none of that. Congratulations to Jimmy Johnson, man.
Hunter Dickinson, double-double last night. Wasn't enough. Just got dominated by the bigs in Houston. That's one of the best teams in the nation, so not much to say about that. He did miss a couple of shots, like point-blank range, but he was good. He actually, you know, did a...
He was all right, yeah.
But whatever he does, it doesn't matter. He's always going to be the brunt of everything for Kansas fans.
King Cake, to me, is overrated.
You know what? I had a bite
unless
of it when we were in New Orleans.
The cake that we saw the video of where it
no,
gets dropped
not that
on
at all.
Ass. Bare-naked ass. King Cake and the guy...
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, not going to do it. Nope, but it's like a stale cinnamon roll is kind of what the king cake was. I didn't think it was that good. I took a bite. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, king cake overrated. If it's overrated, I don't know. Is it?
I think it's just one of those.
It's just a thing. Yeah. No, like, Jimmy Johnson. Top of the three.
Jimmy Johnson,
even though his security yelled at me, it's all good.
Yeah, his security, but it wasn't him. It was,
it was
that hired goon
that
was walking alongside of him.
Yeah,
that guy'd be a goon in the NHL out there to fight.
Kid.
Jimmy Johnson's coming through. Move!
35-foot wide concourse.
I mean, the concourse you could have landed a jet plane in.
They even dropped a Gronk. Like, get out of the way, guys. And Gronk's coming, too.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Gronk's like, yeah, sweet. Where?
Yeah, exactly. Where are we going?
Even me know that's not real money. Coming up on the other side, our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joins us live from Arizona here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for our Royals insider, Josh Vernier.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.